Tuesday, March 26th, local law public hearing, month-end audit, and town board meeting.
Good evening, 6:40. Welcome to the town of Monroe, March 26th. Public hearing, local law number 3. We have a roll call, please.
Councilmember Noonan.
Here.
Councilmember Killian.
Here.
Councilmember Stewart.
Here.
Councilmember Donahue.
Here.
Supervisor Fish.
Here. Local law number 2 is what this actually is going to end up being. It is for the recreation director to set the hours at Rec Park. We're going to be open this public hearing. Are there any comments on the proposed local law, which will amend Chapter 102 of the Code of the Town of Monroe?
Does the notice of public hearing have to be read into the record and all that, like where it's been published and all that? Do you know? Malcolm, does all the, where it's been published, when it's been published, does that be read into the record now, or we don't have to do that?
This is the public hearing. Nobody's here to comment.
Okay.
The supervisor will close the public hearing, and we'll deal with this when they come up on the agenda to adopt the resolution.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion? Need a motion to close the hearing?
Motion closed.
Okay.
There's no more discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Looking for a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion closed.
Can we just do that?
We did.
Close again.
Thanks again. All right. 7:45, that's for the month-end audit meeting. According to Anna, all the vouchers are signed. There's no items for discussion, but we do have 2 transfers to approve. First, we need to transfer funds for the payment of unforeseen expenses related to the fuel tanks at the highway garage, which I'm glad to announce are finally gone. We need a motion to transfer $6,500 from A1990.4, the general contingent account, to A5132.491, the general garage and fuel tanks account.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Next, we need to transfer payment of the 2022 local health officer. Need a motion to transfer $2,000 from A1990.4 general contingent account to A4010.4 general public health officer.
So
any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Do you have anything? You have nothing? Looking for a motion to approve the March 2024 warrant as audited.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Motion to adjourn the month end audit.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
All right, it's 7:00. Welcome to the end of the month board meeting for the town of Monroe, March 26th. Do we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Noonan.
Yes.
Councilmember Killian.
Here.
Councilmember Stewart.
Here.
Councilmember Donahue.
Here.
Supervisor Fish.
Here, would you stand for the pledge, please? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Item number one, future meetings, workshops. Anybody have anything for that? On to item number two, approval of the minutes. Motion to accept and approve the minutes for the regular town board meeting on March 12, 2024 as submitted. Is there any discussion?
Motion to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Public comment period number one. Time for the public comments related to tonight's agenda items. Please come up to the podium, state your name, you have 5 minutes to address the board. You may or may not respond. Somebody at this time? Item three, old business polling places. We've received word from the County Board of Elections that one of our town polling places has officially been moved from the Oliver Winch Middle School to the Monroe Community Center. Residents who live in election districts 1, 2, and 3 will now vote at the community center. And I want to thank the school for their continued support of our election process and the Monroe Community Center for stepping up for our town. We need to discuss a term for planning and zoning board alternates tonight. Any thoughts here?
I know our terms for the planning board appointees, not the alternates, is 7 years. I feel that the alternate spot is kind of that, it is the backup or the fill-in. And if those people are persons joining it to eventually get to that point, I think that it should be maybe a year or two shorter to fill those to eventually go to the full spots. That's just my opinion on that.
So instead of 7 years, you're talking?
I would say that the alternate term should be 5. You know, there's going to be the continuous flip over of new seats, and you know, I don't think the long-term approach is to have the same people as alternates, at least that's not my understanding of it. I think 5 years is still longer than any one of us are going to be appointed for a term, so they're going to go on, and a new board will be able to reevaluate that.
Other thoughts?
I can support that. I actually, now is not what I'm asking about term lengths for seated members, but I actually think 7 years is too long, but that's a different kind of conversation for another day. But I certainly think what Councilmember Stewart says seems to make a lot of sense.
I think it's realistic.
That still allows them, as I said, any board, none of us are, we could be here for long, but our terms are 4 years, theirs being 5. It would allow new eyes to look at them in a reasonable time. So. I would make a motion to set planning board alternate positions to 5-year terms.
Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Sonia Fowler was appointed to the Ethics Advisory Council. At a previous meeting, we need to amend her term. The terms are supposed to stagger, so only one expires each year. Looking for a motion to amend the Ethics Advisory Council term of Sonia to expire on December 31st, 2027.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. We have to finalize a vote that wasn't completed at the last meeting. Looking for a motion to authorize the highway superintendent to contract with Saratoga County DPW to strike 20.42 miles of town roads this spring and 4.15 miles in the fall to be paid out of account 833.10.499.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. highway department requests. As the public may be aware, a section of Speakman Street off Fort Edward Road has been closed until further notice. Chris called us. I went down with him and we took a look at the road. It's dropped
a couple feet
now off one side. Seems to have that ongoing problem. The best case scenario down there is probably driving pylons, 80 to 100 feet in order to hold the bank in place, and then there's no guarantee. You're looking at probably $1 million, so until further notice, that road will be closed, and we'll have to work on it and see what we can do to alleviate that problem. On to the next item, looking for a motion to purchase rock salt from Morton Salt not to exceed $20,000 from account DB5130.490.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, we need a motion to transfer $60,000 from the grinding account DB5112.493 to
DB5112.493.4.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Highway superintendent's looking for a resolution to allocate the $60,000 we just moved for the purchase of blacktop for the upcoming paving season. This will be in addition to the $385,000 that we already allocated. The purchase will be under county contract 23PWAC-3R and will come out of account DB5112.493.4.
So moved.
All in favor?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Anything else, Chris?
I don't believe so. Thank you.
Item number 5, transfer station requests. Unfortunately, a longtime transfer employee had to step back from his shift duties due to health reasons. So we're looking for a motion to hire Earl Ruff, former town water superintendent, as part-time transfer employee at the rate of $15 an hour. He'd start immediately upon successful completion of a pre-employment physical and a background check.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Town has been contracted with CT Mail for a long time to monitor the former landfill as required by EDC. They've had a slight increase in their services. That cost has gone up a little more than $2,000 since 2022. Looking for a motion to authorize the supervisor to sign the change order number 2 for CT Mail Associates contract for post-closure landfill monitoring services in the amount of $12,868.10 for 2024. This will come out of account LF8160.4.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that?
Yes. Is there any other contractors that do this besides CT Mail that we've got prices on?
That's who has the contract
right now. Right. But have any contractors come in to look at or anything?
Not since I've been here. Not that I know of. Anybody, JD, anything? Kyle?
No, it's always been CT Mail that comes down and does that.
Since it closed?
Yeah, and it's that yearly state regulatory check. So, I mean, if it's something you want to put out to bid, we probably can try and do that in the future. But something we should think about now for next year.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other discussion on that? Item 6.
Supervisor, is there a vote on that? A vote, sir.
Pardon?
We just need a vote on that. We have a first and second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. It town has been notified that our rec director, Jeremy Brogan, has taken and passed the civil service exam.
Congratulations.
We need a resolution to make them permanent for the civil service requirements. Therefore, I'm looking for a motion appointing Jeremy as the recreation director effective immediately and permanently at a salary of $60,000 a year.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Just passed,
Probably.
Congratulations.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Jeremy's been doing a good job. He's been doing the work of two or three people down there, so thank you very much for that. Rec department requests. Jeremy's looking to bring on some summer staff at the park. Park hours are expanding on April 1st. Two individuals are returning employees. Two are new hires. Excuse me. One of the new hires is a retired veteran with the knowledge and experience in electrical, plumbing, and carpentry, and is willing to take care of the cemeteries as well. Would the clerk please read the resolution?
March 26, 2024. So be it resolved that the following people be rehired as full-time seasonal employees for the Town of Monroe Recreation Department. Rehired employee David Gould, $17 an hour. Anita Generous, $15.45 an hour. So be it further resolved that the following people be hired as full-time seasonal employees for the Town of Monroe Recreation Department effective immediately and subject to the successful completion of a background check and pre-employment physical within a two-week period. Hired employee Greg Ames, the rate of pay $15 an hour. Dylan Martindale, $16 an hour.
Flip-flop. Should be opposite. Close to it.
Greg Ames should be $16 an hour and Dylan Martindale should be $15 an hour.
So,
thank you.
Motion.
Need a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Item number 8, Medicare Advantage Plus Plan. We were made aware that the local medical providers would not be accepting Humana plan that the town has in place for retirees. Last week, Jeffrey gave us a memo with 5 options that we have for Medicare Advantage plans. According to the information provided, we need to make a decision on that tonight. And we are only able to choose one plan. Discussion from you people?
I appreciate the work you and Jeffrey did, the narrative that you provided us. And I know that there were 5 options given. And there was kind of a suggestion in there about what might be the best option. And I would agree with what we're calling option 2, which is the PPO 5PH plan, that based on what I read, I had a chat with Jeffrey a little bit today about some other stuff that came up briefly. So it has its advantages. You know, there's a slight cost increase, but I think for the benefits received, the increased cost to the employee could be realized very quickly. Wouldn't be overburdened. So I'm okay with option 2.
I agree. I think after reviewing option 2, weighing out the cost of what's provided, you know, really most specifically for that one, what makes it appear to be the real difference of this would be the hospital cost and covered for also. Just reviewing all the items that are on there and available, just to echo what Councilman Newman says, I do think that the little bit of added cost is going to be well worth the return.
Agreed.
Motion.
I'm going to make a motion to go with option 2, which is the PPO 5PH.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Item number 9. Everyone has the engagement letter for Whiteman, Osterman, and Hanna Law Firm on Legal Services to represent the town on the moratorium. The agreement can be terminated at any time. Details conflict of interest. The firm represents a property owner who has filed an Article 7 grievance with their assessment. That property owner has already agreed in writing to waive that conflict of interest. The assessor believes that the firm's representation of the property owner will not pose any issue to the town contracting them for representation on the moratorium. I'm looking for a motion to authorize the supervisor to sign the engagement letter with Whiteman, Osterman, and Hanna LLP for legal services related to the moratorium.
So moved.
Any discussion?
This was the only law firm that came our way for this. This was a law firm that represented the folks that were actively stopping and, you know, actively opposed to an application on our planning board. Right there, I find this to be a conflict of interest, so I would not be in support of this law firm representing us in this matter.
Okay. Anybody else? Roll call.
Councilmember Newman.
No.
Councilmember Killian.
Yes.
Councilmember Stewart.
Yes.
Councilmember Donahue.
Yes.
Supervisor Fish.
Yes. Item number 10, town attorneys. Last week we received proposals in response to the RFPs that were sent out. We're looking to contract with different attorneys at this time to provide different representation to the town. Looking for a motion to authorize the supervisor to sign a contract with Tabner, Ryan, and Kearney for special services relating to water. This contract would be in addition to the special services for sewer that the firm already provides.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Need a motion authorizing the supervisor to sign the contract documents reflecting the proposal submitted by Miller, Mannix, Schachter, and Hafner for the proposal of providing legal representation to the town of Monroe for general services planning and labor, zoning, negotiations, Article 7, cases, and other special services as needed.
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Number 11, local law, direct park hours. To let the public know, we're adopting this local law before the other that had been being discussed for the moratorium. So this becomes local law 2. Instead of local law 3. Because of that, dealing with the hours at the rec park, it will be numbered as local law 2. Now it's going to walk us through the EAF.
Yes, there's an EAF prepared for the board, part 2. I can read it if you wish, or you can wait to read it.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Will the proposed action create a material conflict with adopted the land use plan or zoning regulations? No. Will the proposed action result in change in the use or intensity of land?
No.
No. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway? No. Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? No. Will the proposed action impact existing A, public or private water supplies? No. Public or private wastewater treatment utilities? No. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources, e.g. wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, and fauna? No. Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? No. Will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health? No. The town board of the town of Rowe has taken a hard look at the environmental impacts which may occur as a result of the adoption of Local Law 2 of 2024 and has determined the adoption will result in no significant environmental impact. The action will further have no adverse impact on the public health or facilities. Further, the adoption of the law is a reasonable exercise of government authority. The purpose of the law is to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of town residents and visitors to the town parks, and to provide clarity and flexibility regarding the hours of the various parks in town. At this time, we recommend that the board make a negative declaration and the supervisor sign.
Thank you. Will the clerk please read the resolution and adopt Local Law Number 2, 2024?
March 26, 2024, Resolution, Town Board, Town of Moreau. Subject, adoption of Local Law 2 of 2024. Whereas the Town Board of the Town of Moreau Board is considering the adoption of Local Law 2 of 2024. Local Law 2 of 2024 is, as proposed, amends Section 1 of Chapter 102 of the Code of the Town of Moreau relating to the hours of the various public parks within the town, and whereas the board finds that the adoption of Local Law Number 2 of 2024 is in the best interest of the town and it is necessary to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of town residents and property owners, and whereas the town board finds that the adoption of Local Law 2 of 2024 is a necessary and proper exercise of authority by the board, and whereas the authority for the enactment of this local law is found in Section 1I of Municipal Law, Home Rule Law, and whereas, pursuant to Section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law, public hearing on the proposed adoption of Local Law Number 2 of 2024 was properly noticed in the newspaper and posted and was duly conducted on March 26, 2024 at the Town Hall, and whereas the Town Board considered the public comments made at the public hearing, and whereas the board, serving as lead agency for this unlisted action under SEAKER, reviewed a short environmental assessment form and determined that the action does not present any adverse environmental impacts, and whereas after thorough review and deliberation, the board proposes to adopt Local Law Number 2 of 2024, and whereas the attorney for the town has prepared the necessary documents for filing this local law with the Secretary of State, now, therefore, be it resolved that the board hereby adopts Local Law Number 2 of 2024, which amends the law as stated above, and be it further resolved that the board adopts and authorizes the filing of a negative declaration, and be it further resolved that the board hereby authorizes the town clerk and the attorney for the town to make such minor modifications to the local law documents as they deem necessary, and therefore are directed to execute and file the said documents as required by law, and to take all the necessary action for the promulgation thereof.
Thank you. Need a motion.
Motion to approve resolution for Local Law 2024.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Agenda item 12. Jeffrey has completed the audit of the court finances. Now we as a town board need to accept it. Will the clerk please read the resolution?
March 26, 2024. Be it resolved that the town board acknowledges that the required examination of the town board's financial records for the year ended December 31, 2023 has been completed. So be it further resolved that the town board accepts and approves the report of this examination.
Any discussion on that? Anybody? Need a motion?
Take a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Item 13, town historian. Reantis will be going to a Women in War symposium. This is a historical education event put on by authors and historians and includes a tour of Saratoga County historical sites. He's asking the town if we would reimburse him for the cost of this event. Looking for a resolution to reimburse payment to Reed for the Women in War Symposium on May 4th and May 5th at a cost not to exceed $215.25. This will come out of the account A75104. It has a line item balance of $773.60 for email and miscellaneous services.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Time for the second public comment period. Please come up to the podium, state your name.
My name is Kevin Ostrander. I live at 42 Fort Everett Road. I'm come up to speak about Speakman Road. I'm curious how long this closure is going to occur for. The road's been closed for nearly 2 years now. I've lived right in front of it for 20 years. So I've been watching this closely, obviously, and the closure has me concerned. So how long are we going to keep this road closed for?
It's been an ongoing battle, like you said, for 20 years. I can remember Spoon having problems down there, too. And they said that when I talked with Chris about this the other day, the story is that when they built that development, they dumped all the spoils and everything in there. The only thing I can think is the fact that those spoils are rotten underneath. And as it's rotten, and then everything being piled on top of it, it's just giving away and giving away. And they don't really, that I know of anyways, unless Chris has heard something since, they don't really have an answer for us other than, like I said, driving those pylons, and they're talking about $1 million worth of work there. There's no guarantees. The only other option that is to reroute the road completely, and you're talking about getting into taking land and having to move it over away from that area a little bit to get through there. There is making land there. Pardon?
That would be my land.
There is making land there, but it's a matter of having to, you know, is that going to alleviate the problem? You know, once you move it over, say a full lane or so, you know, is that going to stop that erosion underneath? Is there anything under that part of it there? It doesn't look like it because the bank is up on the side there. It looks like if you were to cut down through there and move that over, that you could put that road through there and it should stabilize it.
I have some concerns, obviously. Fort Everett Road is probably one of our most dangerous roads in all of Sullivan's Falls. I think every one of us here knows somebody that may have lost their life on that road. A gentleman lost his life in my yard last May, the latest accident out there. Lived there 20 years. There's been five very bad accidents. Again, we all know somebody who's lost a life or been very harmed. The way that closure now is creating even more danger because they changed the entrance into that back residential neighborhood and pushed it around the town. Now the county came and cleaned the road out so there's more better visibility, but because of that closure, you're forcing the entire residential neighborhood to come through there. Some cars forced to go the opposite direction that they would normally go, creating a bottleneck on that road. Spent a little bit of time on that road, people drive quite quickly right there. To bring up another issue with that road, it becomes a very important road for your corridor to your industrial park and your traffic studies. And then lastly, I think we need to make sure you consider here is the safety of the residents behind me, because that's a residential neighborhood. You need fire access roads. You're actually closing down a fire access road right now.
Yep.
You still have one. You're taking one away and creating the potential for hazard to the community. So I would give that some consideration as you're trying to address this problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to bring up a comment, Kevin brings up a great point, because this is obviously not the first time this is coming for us. Last year, families came with small children. I think a little boy hit the gavel that night when we talked about this. Every year, the cost we talk about fixing it is going to be more expensive. Every single year that we don't do something about it, the cost to fix it is going to go up. So at some point, I mean, going this way, at some point we have to get some real numbers of what it's going to cost to fix it. Because it's been, to keep saying, I don't know what we're going to do. I think we know something has to be done. It's just going to cost a ton of money. And right? So
it's enlightened me.
Well, I'm not
going to be done.
Well, I'm not an engineer. And I, as a member of this board, and this isn't a personal attack on decisions that have been made, but I think as a board, we have to make a decision on Speakman Street, because it's going to continue to do that until people will not be able to get to their homes. And then what are we going to say? Like, shoot, 20 years ago, when it only cost $1 million, we should have fixed it? I mean, it's...
What would it have cost to the difference being to take those spoils instead of putting them where they put them? That's my belief. I'm not an engineer.
No, I'm sure.
I
think 100% right.
Cutting trees and cutting this and cutting that and putting it in there, it's got to settle. It's got to rot is what's going to happen.
Yes, if I may, can I offer something on that? Because I've lived there for quite a bit. There is some old water lines there. My home is one of the oldest homes in that particular area. There were two farmhouses down there that had old lines, water lines, from Fort Edward. I turned my water off when I bought the house because it didn't give me enough pressure and I dug a well. But that doesn't mean that those lines, I always speculated that more than likely there's probably water lines out there that Fort Edward Water District may or may not have shut down that could create that problem.
Doesn't the water line go, when it comes out Reservoir Road there, doesn't it go right straight across and then down, across the river right there, if I'm not mistaken?
It does, but the house on the
secondary... And then there is an extension of it down.
That secondary bend, the person that owned my home and that farm, they went in on a share and bought the line to Fort Edward Water, and then tapped off of it later on in some of the existing homes, but...
Seems like there should be a map of it for whatever.
There's a map. Place. They couldn't find a shutoff. And I mean, if I recall, this is probably 15 years ago. I think it was Simpson at the time over, I think that rings a bell over in Fort Edward. But I requested that shutoff to be shut off. I mean, you would almost think as it's washing away, because I've been there many years, that's an old home. I own an old property. I own that whole back area. That property's been there for many years.
They've done some different things down there in that Fort Edward Water, because when you go down on the right-hand side, there's a house that has water. There was another one that had water leaking inside it, and you had to shut the water off coming out of this house because they hooked from this house to this house and nobody knew it, So there was a lot of stuff done that nobody knows what was done.
I suspect it's a water line. It's an old water line that's still feeding underneath the ground. No matter what's under there, somewhere, it's got to be water, because it's the only explanation for the deterioration.
So is it owned by Fort Edward then? As far as that water line we're talking about right now, it comes out of
outside of my land, it is, sure.
So, based on pressures there too that are either monitored or, is there any other drop?
So I guess can't we reach out to Fort Edward and see if they're able to shut off? Chris, could we actually maybe, I do agree with Kyle's point. Let's work with our local engineers. Let's see if the county wants to get involved, as it is a county corner with their engineers. I know it's a town road, but any resources that we can, and I think I agree that it's to the point where we need to put some real numbers in it. And if it's driving pylons or if it's digging it all out to bring in new fill to stop it from eroding, that's probably going to be cheaper than pylons, just knowing construction. But I don't believe just eliminating this road enclosure is what any of the residents in that neighborhood are going to want. And we've taken on some other major projects, so to not have the real answer to the real numbers, I think we're to that point where we need to get that.
I don't think it would hurt to see what it might cost us to reroute that road to.
Right, but part of that...
You're on that road's taking land. I mean, we own this now, so I guess our first thing is paying some engineers. We have an engineering firm to see if we can repair what we own before we go after or even consider such a thing.
And that's a good point. We don't have an engineering firm even on staff, right, on retainer at this point. we're waiting on town
correct
engineer RFPs. So this is all part of that. And so to answer that question, we really need to focus on getting engineers here, get the proposals.
Tried to do that back in January, remember?
And we're still, well, yes. And it, I believe RFPs have gone out, and we don't have a lot of, we haven't had a lot of responses yet. The RFP process, I'm sure it was handled by the letter of the law, as suggested, but I don't know why we wouldn't, like, there are some major engineering firms that I'm aware of that have not even seen our RFP posted anywhere. So I wonder if we're missing the mark on getting information out to some of the firms that would have the ability to offer us guidance and want to work with us.
Well, they've been out for a little over a week, and it takes time to get them back.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. So engineering for sure, and I think we have to figure out what it's going to cost to fix, because this is ongoing every year. It's worse and worse and worse every year.
It's public safety. It's public safety. You don't want nobody to get hurt. I'd rather, as much as you don't want to hear it, I'd rather close the road and see somebody get hurt.
No,
I don't want to see. You know, Chris had it one way down there, and they're driving both ways on it anyway. And it's just, you know. With the barricades and stuff that was there, somebody coming through there and hitting one of those or going off it or having that cave in, not healthy, not good.
If you haven't been down there, it would be the town's responsibility.
I haven't been down this year.
I would recommend going down and looking at it.
And I will see
how it's undermining the actual macadam now.
And I understand if the part of the decomposing wood and stuff is breaking down and causing this to continue to erode. We all would understand that's a bad idea, but we can't lament on that. That decision was made, somebody did it, and now we have to fix it.
Correct.
Well, again, I'll go back to what Kevin just said. We're speculating that we might, in fact, have a water line that's washed out of there that we don't know. This goes back to previous, let's go back to at least 15 years ago, we talked about a shutoff. So I think that, and if I need to be the point of contact to reach out to Fort Edward, I have no problem reaching out to them and asking them to come over and confirm that shutoff's working and off.
I'll contact them tomorrow.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Chris.
Good place to start.
Thank you, guys.
Sir?
I'll just add to her, I did some deep research on his property on something he asked me to look. It is in the village of Fort Edward, Water District 1. His property is listed in the Water District 1 of Fort Edward, or the village of Fort Edward. So I would definitely get Fort Edward involved, because his house, and I asked him what people have been around a while, and they didn't realize there's water going from the line, because we all thought it just went straight across, and nothing went, south. For those homes.
So I knew it went south, but I didn't know how far south it went.
Yeah, so
I don't know.
They should be able to tell you, because it's in their water district, so whatever could help, the village can. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Dominic Tom, Cedar Lane. Back here again on a old problem. We're talking about the Redmond Road infamous crack house. It's been talked about quite a few times. We even had some brave residents who stepped forward last year. Felt they were afraid they were going to be revenge tactics speaking about it publicly, but they finally spoke up. And I've already addressed the old board several times on this Redmond Road track house. The latest is that the garbage is piling up again, which taxpayers paid $4,400 last year because somebody wouldn't send the highway department down to clean it up as part of their work. And I don't blame the highway department if they didn't want to go because the condition. So the garbage is piling up. Last week, my friend and I were walking our dogs. I went to my house, and 4 minutes later, somebody's vicious dog that was visiting the crack house came running through the backyards and onto Karen Lane and attacked my friend's dog. State police were called, and dog control officer was also called. And all the state police did was warn the woman that that dog wasn't supposed to be in town of Moreau. It's supposed to be kept in Glens Falls where she lives. So obviously, you know, I keep coming back here, and I'm only representing myself because the house, the crack house, is a within walking distance. I see it every day on my dog walks. I drive by it every day. And I don't know how many more times I've got to say this. There are ways, and I've suggested them already, that you can get rid of that crack house. And nothing is done. This didn't happen overnight. So I'll repeat a few things. Maybe it's not going to be fly with the legal department or police or whatever. First of all, that house cannot be fit for human habitation. And all of these drug raids that the officers are running there all the time over the years, I suggested last year that a search warrant be, that the town be tipped off to the next drug raid so that the legal department or building inspector could get a search warrant from the town judge. And after the area is secured, they go in and inspect the inside of the house, because I'm sure they're going to find it's unfit for human habitation. That's one way to get it at least closed. And then boarded it up. And if people come back and try and live there again, you arrest them. And with their records, that's a probation and or parole violation. Stick them in jail. The other part is, last year I got the records for it. As of last summer or early fall, they're 3 years behind on all of their taxes. Why that hasn't forced the town to seize the property to pay off the back taxes and the $4,400 charge is beyond me. My personal experience from over the years is that most municipalities run their own foreclosure practices. They seize these properties for non-payment taxes, and then they turn around and they sell them at a profit to developers or people who want to flip the homes. And the municipalities make money at it. Not only covers the back taxes and penalties and interest, but they're making money at it. And why Moreau doesn't do that, I don't know. Maybe there's a legal quandary. I know a lot of it is handed over to the county for collection. Why doesn't the county start doing this? This town, believe it or not, all you have to do is drive through, and there are so many eyesores and dumps and properties that are a disgrace. And my assessment and everyone, almost everyone else's assessments keep going up. I invite you to come down, put aside your personal political differences with me. You come on down and walk over to the crack house and see what people in that neighborhood have been living with all these years. And then we'll walk down Redmond Road to the corner thing at Redmond and Evergreen, who's the unfortunate woman living there has finally gotten out because the shed that she was living in fell through. I'll take you to that house and wonder why that hasn't been seized and cleaned. Go up to Spire Falls Road and Route 9, and my God, the vehicle junkyard there and trailer junkyard, it's been there for decades. I owned a home in the village of South Glens Falls from 93 to the end of 2011. I was up here all the time. Those same vehicles are still there, and I've been living here for 7+ years. I mean, come on. I don't mean to harp on the new board, but this has been a long-standing problem, and just like Speakman Street, it's kicked down the road every year. It's upsetting.
Thank you. Anybody else? Committee reports. Anybody, anything?
A few things with BRAC. Over there. BRAC director, he's got a few ideas that he's looking to bring to the board. And starting with our committee, he's looking to bring back the Moreau, if I call it the wrong name, I apologize, the Moreau BRAC Fund Days weekend that was long standing. He's, as he was hired, to bring back some new ideas.
Can if fun days.
Family fun days. I apologize, Alfred. And he's looking to bring that back. It's in the initial stages at his level. I spoke with JD here, and we're going to bring ourselves into his direct committee. And then he's also brought up the good idea that he's looking to propose the idea of bringing that community committee as well. Obviously, this is going to be a volunteer committee that wants to get people outside of just us and the director to do to come up with ideas for this weekend. And just as an estimate, he's looking to do it at the end of the summer around our tournament. So, again, very initial baby steps here, but I think it's a good idea that we should run with. And hopefully, also Don and myself will help our director in any way that we can.
One of the favorite activities of those Family Fun Days back in the day was the grease pole. They put a $100 bill on top of a flight pole and put Crisco all over a flight pole and people trying to climb it.
You looking at that for you?
There was still $100 bill on top of the flight pole every weekend.
And then some of the other stuff we've been working with, at this point I directed our, request our director speak with our insurance company, and we spoke with the supervisor's office, but the topic again of bounce houses and obstacle courses and whatnot at the rec with the Million Rentals is coming up. I know we ran into some issues with our insurance in the past. There's a waiver form that is available, but I think it takes a good look at it now to go through that. I know we definitely can't do any sort of hot air balloon rides or anything. That has been very hardly said no. But that's just for some.
I'm trying to see if there's a difference between the word inflatables compared to bounce houses. Because there are things that are inflatables that the kids don't even get on or adults don't get on. We talked about. So the insurance company may find a differential the word inflatable compared to bounce house. So I'm trying to see if that's going to be a difference for us.
Then besides that, a lot of moving parts over there.
The garden, I don't know if we brought that up.
Oh, I believe everybody got an email from Jeremy for the garden. Obviously, we've had the money there to build our cold storage for several years now since I've been on the board. So again, our item, we did get a response back last year, but nobody filled out our packet. They only sent emails because of the storage. Jeremy's worked with our
Master Gardener,
thank you. And they're looking, I don't even know if they need board permission, but they're looking to bring the gardens over here behind his office, the old sheriff's substation. They've been advised about the helipad and the possible use of it. The Master Gardener understands that could happen, but they were very, my understanding is very excited about the idea to bring it over here. We have water coming out of that building already. We had some Eagle Scouts reach out to us about doing projects, and they're looking for a little shed over there to get their Eagle Scouts. So I think we could take this into a real community experience. We need to relocate that anyways. And also, this allows them to come kind of use it at their convenience, not just around our rec staff hours. I don't think we need any board approval, but I would like to get the board's take on if you're okay with relocating those boxes. Obviously, there'll be some cost associated, but I think we have that cost controlled in the budget this year.
So, moving the boxes there too, are they still sustainable and good shape? Or should we have the Eagle Scouts build new ones and how does that process work?
So what I'm thinking is that the boxes are in great shape. We bring new soil in for the most part, wrap underneath it. I think the biggest thing is I'm hoping that when people see them out front down here at the office, more people may want the boxes. Maybe they don't realize we even have them. But I think when people come to town hall, they'll start seeing the community right there with the flowers and the vegetables, and they might grow it a little bit more.
Sure.
So it's not a bad
plan.
So, I mean, if everybody's on favor with that, I'd like to just give them the full support of the board to get that done, and if there's anything we can do to help them, I think it would be a good look for us. Good for the town.
Very good.
It's great. Like Jeremy said, the accessibility, if nothing else, the visibility will get more people involved, and it's a nice thing for the community, community project. It's a great idea. I was actually for it the first time when we placed it down at the rec. I was for it because I asked him out here. It was something about the helicopter. I don't know any of you have seen a helicopter out there. I haven't seen any yet. So I think it could happen.
Sure.
As long as they're aware of that, maybe your crops are going to be taken away. But long as they're aware of that, I don't have a problem.
Anything else I forgot, Jeremy? I know you brought a lot to me, and I apologize if I wrote down most of it.
Yeah, so actually, you know, the other thing that coincides with this is our town website. So we will be progressing there too, and hopefully we get some pictures on there to see the progress, you know, as far as what's happening. We've been very busy here, you know, as far as all the things that have been going on. So thanks for being patient, everyone. And, you know, as far as moving forward, you know, there's a lot of other things that are happening also in our town. But we've been inundated with a lot of different things happening. So as far as moving forward, you know, thanks for being patient. And there is a lot of good things happening right now. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen as fast as we'd like, but progress is definitely coming. So thanks for being patient.
Supervisor's items. I have nothing. We don't give the executive session or anything that I know of. So I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Malcolm. Thanks. Thank you, Malcolm.